Yes, great question. Where is Satan in the book of Job? That's right, he's not in hell. He's at the throne of God with the other angelic beings, waiting for an audience with God. And what happens? What happens next? Well, we know what happens next. God sends him down to Job, and Satan wreaks havoc physically on Job's body. But that's not the way Satan operates today. Satan is now a messenger of light. He found out that Job only learned more about God through his trials, came to glorify God in the end. Wow, I had heard of you, but now I see you. And Satan says, well, I screwed that up. So now he's going to disguise himself under the guise of religion. Hello, everyone. Again, this is Martin Zender from my South American bunker. And once again, imbibing in a Friday cigar to celebrate the end of another week and the beginning of the reconciliation of the universe. Yes, true, it began at the cross, but the tribulation, which is coming, and I won't be here, and I'm glad of it, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The tribulation, which is coming, is going to inaugurate the good eons in which God is going to unveil himself in a saving way to his creation. The one thing I do like about the book of Revelation is that we get a backstage view into the celestial world. We see 24 elders at the throne of God. Now, this is really fascinating to me to get a behind-the-scenes looks at the throne of God. Now, first of all, I hope you know that God doesn't have a literal throne because he doesn't need to sit down. He doesn't get tired. Throne is a figure of speech for his rule and his reign. Now, we're going to follow a law of language. How about that? An actual law of language in the book of Revelation, literal if possible. This law is going to open up avenues of truth to you that you've never seen before because we're following laws of language and God chose the written word in which to reveal himself. It's true that Jesus Christ is also called the Word, but his words were recorded, were they not? Some Pentecostal people tell me they don't need the scriptures because Jesus is the Word. I said, who? They say Jesus. I say, who? They say Jesus. I said, well, how do you know about Jesus? Well, it's in the, it's in the scriptures, right. Scripture writing is God's preferred method of communication. And so the student, the investigator who learns more about the English language, who learns the most about the English language and its rules and its regulations. I know this doesn't sound very spiritual, but the one who learns about figures of speech, such as God's throne, will understand more about what God's doing than anyone else. Yes, it comes down to laws of language. We're going to follow them. So God parts the veil in the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And we see creatures at his throne, celestial beings. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the world above our heads is humming with life. And I'm not talking about the birds and the bees. I'm talking about powerful celestial beings, some of whom created the world, the universe, 24 elders. It's my thinking here, we're going to get a brief glimpse into this, is that the celestial world is divided into 24 sectors. On earth, the government is divided into 12 apostles. The number 12 in scripture, consult Dr. Bollinger on this, has to do with earthly government and administration. That's the earth. What about the heavens? The heavens are divided into 24 sections ruled by 24 elders or ancient ones. Ooh, just that title sends a chill down my spine. Ancient ones, celestial beings who report to God. And below them are authorities, and below them are messengers, and there are cherubim. And the cherubim are the ones who enact the judgments of God. God sends celestial messengers down to earth to break things and kill people. And we're going to see that as the bowls, as the trials and the vials of Revelation unfold. We're going to see celestial beings sent by God under the authority of God. They're called Elohim. The reason they're called Elohim, the root word there is El. God is the one who is behind them. They have the mind of God, these creatures at the altar. There are also four animals at the altar. We wouldn't know this if not for the book of Revelation. These are literal animals. They're actually animals. And they're in charge of the animal kingdom on the earth. This is just fascinating, and we get a picture of this in Revelation. My purpose for going into this is to ask you the question, how do the events of Revelation affect the spirit world? Well, the spirit world, first of all, has much to do with the way things are on earth today, as I alluded to yesterday. You remember in the book of Daniel, we see Michael the archangel wrestling with the king of Persia. He wasn't wrestling with an earthly magistrate. He was wrestling with a king of the celestial world, a powerful spiritual being who was arranging the affairs of the earthly kingdom of Persia. I'm convinced that that earth is divided into compartments. Now, okay, I don't have a verse for this, but we see hints of it. We see definite leanings that the earth is controlled by spiritual powers. We know that Satan is the god of this world. The god, that is the El, he is the subjector of this world. That's what the word God means. It's a subjector. So Satan subjects the earth. Don't panic, because greater is he who is in you than he is who is in the world. But all I'm telling you is that the earth is now under the control of oppressive, diabolical, and very clever and very well-disguised spirit beings. In fact, the four major religions on the earth are animated by spirit beings. The evil in the world is orchestrated by spirit beings working through the vessels of humanity. This sounds sensational, and I know it's hard to believe, but in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about we don't wrestle with blood and flesh. This is what he says in Ephesians 6. He says, be invigorated in the Lord and the might of his strength. Put on the armor of God to enable you to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. Listen to this. For it is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, with the authorities, with the world mights of this darkness, with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. They are now among the celestials, and they are going to have to be kicked out of the celestials. And you think that's already happened because your Sunday school teacher told you that Satan and all his bad angels were cast out of heaven, and now they're all in hell. They're not. That's what Satan wants you to think. Why wouldn't he want you to think that? That he's locked up in hell. He's not. He's not locked up until the end of this eon. And he's bound for 1,000 years. All right. That's the intermediary picture. That's what's going on now in the spirit realm. They're busy, folks. They are busy. I have a friend... the guy who played Dr. Windbigler in Psycho Boy, he is a psychologist in real life, and he is reporting that there are many cases today, more than he's ever seen, more that's ever been on their books, of spirit manifestations, people being oppressed by spiritual beings. This is very interesting, because in our the spirit world, I think, anticipates great events. And so, before our Lord came, we saw great spiritual activity. So what's Jesus doing when he comes? He's casting demons out of people. Mary Magdalene had what? 7 demons? Apollyon is a spiritual being who's going to unleash hordes of other spirit beings in the book of Revelation. But my point is that I believe spiritual activity is going to increase at the suggestion of a move of God. Satan is always trying to set up a deception when he knows a great move of God is at hand. And so Satan realizes more than the people of Earth do that a great move of God is about to happen, that the evil eons are about to graduate to good eons, and he is busy actively engaging humanity. He is in charge of the popes and the presidents and the caliphs and the imams and all those who are in authority. This is his world, folks. But thank God that we have the Spirit of God in us, and we have the Spirit of Revelation, and we are protected from this. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. I love that word sealed, because apart from that, we'd be going off the cliff with everybody else, all the other lemmings in the world. All right, before this week ends, I have to give you the end of these spiritual beings, because their end, I told you the end of humanity, but most people aren't aware that the cross of Christ is also in the business of reconciling the celestial world to God, not just the human creation, but the celestial creation. In verse 10 of Ephesians 1, quickly here, that we are to have an administration of the complement, that is, the completion of the eras, to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth. Both that in the heavens and that on the earth. Israel is going to reconcile the earth to God. The body of Christ is going to reconcile the heavens. One more verse. Think on this. Let this settle your heart over the weekend. Wherefore, I'm in verse 9 of Philippians 2. Because of Christ emptying himself and his sacrifice, God highly exalts him. And don't misunderstand me. Christ is the head of every sovereignty and every authority, even the wicked ones. None of them can do anything except what his dictates are. They think they're doing their own thing. Satan thinks he's doing his own thing, but he's not. The celestial being that was in charge of Persia in the days of Daniel thought it was doing its own thing, but he's not. These beings are acting out the predetermined plan of God. So God highly exalts Christ and graces him with a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should be bowing, celestial and terrestrial. Not only knees on the earth, but celestial knees. Again, this doesn't mean the spiritual beings have patellas and kneecaps and tibias and fibulas. It means that they are going to bow in homage and worship to their creator eventually. And every tongue is going to be acclaiming, not confessing, not they have a God's hand on their necks and they're being forced to confess him. They're going to acclaim the name of Christ. And it's going to work for the glory of our God and Father. This is the big picture, is it not? And that's what we're painting for you before we go into the nasty, dirty details. Satan himself, even though he is the number one opponent of God in Christ, and even though that he plays a major role in the book of Revelation, he too will be, in the end, reconciled to God. And he will be thankful, in the end, for the part he had to play in the great crisis of the eons.